What's up, guys? Welcome to the Generation Startup Podcast. Today, Brian and I are going to be discussing the importance of sales. It's one of the most important skills that you can develop. Brian has over 5 years' experience in car sales, and I'm going to be asking him a lot of questions, and hopefully we're going to be able to deliver a lot of value to you. Let's get into it. So when I look at sales, I believe one of the most important factors and one of the first things that you need to focus on is relationship building and the importance of developing that trust with a potential customer or a client.
Relationship building is definitely a very important thing in sales, but I actually think in sales, the most important thing in sales would be yourself. Taking care of yourself and being on your A game. Being on your A game is not always easy. In sales, we work a ton of hours. And your personal life usually affects your sales. If it's fighting with somebody, if it's a kid staying up all night and just giving you a hard time, he's a kid in school having a struggle, if it's family, if it's just you yourself not being able to get up and motivate yourself, that shows. Your first impression in sales is key with that person. And if you can't be on your A game in sales, I think that is a big problem to start off. The chances of you selling somebody, whatever it is, with you being fights at home and just not being on top of your game, it puts you behind. The first 30 seconds of you talking to somebody in sales usually is the first 30 seconds of them saying yes or no, I'm buying from this person. If it's a no, then right there off the bat, you're wasting your time with these people. If your first 30 seconds to a minute was a waste of time because of the way you interacted with them the first time.
And they're not just going to say yes or no straight up to your face. It's going to be up to you to be able to read the situation and realize how interested they are and that they're actually going to buy a car, right?
Exactly. Yes, I would buy from this person in the first 30 seconds to a minute, or no, I would never buy from this person. They're not going to come straight out and say, yes, I'm buying from you today. That's not. They're going to actually lie to you more than you will ever lie to them. Customers never want to give up what they're actually doing. It's your job to read that customer, build that trust, and kind of get what they need or want in life. And what it is, if it's in car sales, if it's in makeup, if it's whatever it is, you need to figure that out and you need to read that person and build that trust with that person.
Okay, so let's focus on that first 30 seconds to minute that you just mentioned. That a customer walks in, what are you doing as a salesman to read the situation, discover what they need, what they're looking to get out of it. If they're actually looking to buy a car, you know, what are some of the things that you're saying? What are you looking for?
I'm very laid back when it comes to the first couple minutes of the conversation because everyone, when they walk in, want you to stay away from them. They want their own time to look. They want to take an opportunity to walk around usually. So I am very low key and relaxed, and I just basically walk up to somebody when they walk in, just introduce myself and say, hey guys, if you guys have any questions, let me know what I can do to help you. And then from that point on, they usually say, I'm just looking, and they start walking around and looking, and I give them some time. And I say, just ask for me when you have some questions, or they will start asking questions. And at that point, that's when you can kind of build that trust, get a good read on the people on what they want to do.
Yeah, so not being super aggressive, because I know there's some people that you work with or just sales in general. There are so many different strategies that people go by. Some people are like you and kind of low-key and laid back. There's people that are
very aggressive. On it.
And I feel like that's the typical like
salesperson.
Exactly. What you think of when you think of sales or car sales, people
in life
picture just, yes. Exactly. They picture someone who's like super aggressive and just and trying to sell.
That's why we have to, I'm at Volkswagen, so it's a little more laid back, but I have to sell that person without making them feel I am doing that. I get more laid back and easier, and they realize they can trust me, they can ask me questions, and they don't feel like I'm going to sell them a Volkswagen. Will I? Yes, because I'm going to do everything to sell them that, but they don't understand that. By the questions I ask and by the things I do, I'm there to help them get what they need or want.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into that part a little bit. So that first 30 seconds to a minute, and then once they come up to you with questions, what are some questions that you're asking them to try and determine how serious they actually are and what they're looking for in a car?
I think the biggest key in any sales is finding out who it's for. Just because there's one person there doesn't mean it's for them. Just because there's three people there doesn't mean it's for any of them. There's all kinds of people that come in and look and research and do homework for somebody else. If it's for their wife, it's for the dad, if it's for the son, if it's for the daughter. There's so many people. It could be for grandparents. You need to find out who it's for and what they want to accomplish without really asking that. You need to kind of look at the needs of what they're looking for. So they need this or do they want this? If they want this, it's a lot easier sale. If you find out they want something, it's a lot easier. You can pitch them the things that make them want it even more. You can go after the sales without even trying to be pushy. If you know they want something, it's easy to make it. You walk in, I want this. Does someone have to sell you that? No. It's pretty simple as a salesperson when it comes to that. But figuring that out is the key. They're not going to come out and say, this is what I want. I want this GTI. They never say that. They might seem interested in it, but what guy doesn't want a GTI? So it just makes it where you need to find out who you're selling, if it's that person or somebody else that they are going back to tell or they are on their way, whatever it is. And it's building that trust. It's the biggest factor, I think, of sales is building the trust once you've been talking to somebody.
Yeah, and I like the idea of finding the right person to talk to. Finding the decision maker is extremely key. And in your business and also what I do in marketing and reaching out to clients to offer my services to them, if I'm talking to the wrong person in an organization, it doesn't matter. I can talk to them as long as I want.
And be as good as possible, exactly. And it means nothing.
At the end of the day, that's not the person who's making the decision and the financial commitment to come and work with my company, then it doesn't matter.
And it actually looks bad on that person trying to do that. So if I'm sitting here trying to sell the dad and it's the wife's, then I'm talking to the wrong person. She's most likely making the decision anyways.
Exactly.
And you're over here talking and wasting your time on somebody you shouldn't even really honestly be paying attention to as much. There's a situation when there's 3-4 people, you definitely, or just two of them, you need to figure out who is making the decision. And it's not always just because it's my wife's doesn't mean she's making the decision. Just because it's my husband's doesn't mean he's making the decision. You have to, they're going to tell you things and you're going to have to get through that. So they're going to tell you, I'm not doing anything today. I'm looking in the next month to do something. They're going to tell you, I don't like the Volkswagen, or I don't like this, I don't like that. They're doing that to protect themselves. They don't want to be sold. You have to sell them. That is the key. It's finding the things that you have to do to sell that person. And whatever they say is usually pushing you in the wrong direction. So you have to let that stuff go and ask the right questions. Once you get to that building trust and building that rapport with a customer, it's asking the right questions. And it's not doing it back to back to back. Just because they're here to buy something, you need to build that relationship with somebody and talk about other things. You need to, if it's family, if it's talking about sports, if it's talking about stuff you own, cars that you own, or cars that they used to own, it's anything to build that relationship. If it's kids, it's so many things. If it's an event that's going on in your city that you're going to do, a music festival or something, you have to find something that in their life is with your life. It lines up. You have that common goal or thing in life that just kind of hits. They both had a grandkid, or you just had a kid. Anything like that that you can build that relationship is key.
So you obviously have a very laid back and not traditional, you know, that stereotypical
sales guy
approach. What are some of the other things you do? You know, you talked about talking to them and relating to them on a personal level about their life. What are some of the other things you do while still getting information and necessary information out of them?
So I think a big thing with that is asking the right questions at the right times. So credit is a very personal thing for people. So you don't want to straight out ask somebody what their credit is. Sometimes, yes, you have to. But for the most part, if you can do it in a way that they don't know what you're asking and they're going to give you the answer and you can just kind of move on, is key. So the biggest thing for me is when people have a trade-in. They ask and they say, oh yeah, I owe a little money on it. The first question I usually ask is not how much it is. That's what everyone does. Oh, how much do you owe? I don't care how much they owe. They might be negative. They might be positive. It doesn't matter to me. So the first thing I usually ask is, oh, who did you finance that through? They're going to tell you the credit union, the bank, or whatever it is. It could be Navy Credit Union. It could be, that's going to tell you so much more information about their credit usually, because for the most part, credit unions, you have to have good credit. Banks, certain banks have good credit, certain banks don't. So that's going to tell you a great idea of where their credit is or was at the time they bought it 5 years ago, 3 years ago. And then it's also going to tell you about that person. If they're going through Navy Credit Union, they have someone in the military or they're in the military. It's going to give you a lot of answers. And the next question, after they answer that, if it's, oh, I go through PNC, the first thing I say is, oh, we use them. So that's going to make this easy. And then I go on. I move on. Next question, next conversation, whatever conversation we're having before that, we go back to that. I don't keep on that same topic. You move. You switch topics. You change it. Because when you do that, they don't feel like they're getting pressured about their credit score. If it's not good or if it is good, they don't want to tell you. That's the last thing people usually want to tell you is their credit. It's personal. It's not something they want to just tell some random guy they met 20 minutes ago. So it's one of those things is asking the right questions. And then when you get the answer you need, move on. Go on to the next conversation. Move on to the vehicle they just drove and what they want to do from there. You just got to kind of move on from that.
And all of this goes so much more beyond just that one person that you're talking to at that moment. If you leave a good impression, even if that person doesn't buy a car from you, if they had a good experience with you, they may send a friend, they may refer someone, right?
Opening that connection to everyone you talk to is key. The connection that you build with the person that walks in and doesn't buy is actually what will probably get you more sales down the road than the people that will buy. Because if you are polite and nice to every single person that walks in and build some kind of connection to them, if it's in your business or something else, you might just find a way to connect with the person that didn't buy a Volkswagen. But guess what? They have two people they know that will buy a Volkswagen or will buy something new or used in the later down the road. So finding that connection and building that trust with somebody to help you in the future is key. You're not just selling a product, you're selling yourself.
Yeah, that's very true. And one of the biggest portions of my business comes from referrals. Just doing good work, and they will refer you to another person, one of their friends, another business that they work with. So I've made a good amount of money just off of referrals and doing good work.
And I think that's the biggest key is you're not going to sell everybody. Your closing ratio is not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
All the management acts like you got to get your closing ratio up. You got to get your closing ratio up. Sometimes you're going to walk into that person that's not buying from you. They're not going to. But turning that person into a eventual buyer from someone else that they know is also key. And if they don't buy from you, but opening a connection, being in the business 5 years, I have all kinds of things I can go do. So maybe they will never buy a Volkswagen from me. But guess what? Maybe they'll sell me a house. Maybe they will get my housing done, my paint done in my house. There's so many opportunities that you can build this relationship with people and get yourself a good deal. I built this relationship with a realtor. I built this relationship with a contractor. I have all these opportunities. Did I sell all those people? Yes. Do you have to? No. There's multiple people that I've talked to that I haven't sold, but I still talk to them because there's things that they do in their life and their businesses that I need. So why not build that relationship and get yourself a good deal or whatever it is in the future for yourself, even if you haven't had anything from them.
Yeah, and with the realtor, you've bought and sold
3 houses.
Exactly. So it can be a long-lasting relationship that's been going on for years, and you've bought and sold condos and houses with her.
And the first person that she usually comes to is me if someone needs something in her family. Do I always sell them? No. But do I have an opportunity? Yes.
And it's very important to keep that relationship. And also, whenever someone new is coming in the door, it's important, and I want you to talk about this a little bit because I know there's a lot of judging and just when someone comes in the door, trying to read them. But at the end of the day, you've got to treat every person the same because you never know.
And you definitely do. I am very good at reading customers. You can pull up on the lot, walk up, and I usually know more about you
than you think.
Yeah. It's a lot of things from what you pull up in to what your license plate says to the way you get your kids out of the car, the way you walk in, the way you just carry yourself as a person. I am very good at reading that as a customer. And this is a very tough skill. It has taken years to get to that point. Do I misread people? Yes. But I don't let them know that. I treat everyone the same no matter what. I go in when someone pulls up and give my little 10-second spiel of what I think they're doing or what I think's about to happen. And I'm pretty close to on point, probably more than 50% of the time. But that skill has taken years, like I said, to do that.
Yeah, and worked with hundreds or thousands of people, and you've seen so much. You've developed that.
Oh, I've sold over 1,000 cars in the 5 years that I've been in the business. Over usually 200 a year, so I sell a good amount of Volkswagens and used cars as well. But reading people, judging people, whatever it is not easy, and it's not something that you should just do right off the bat. That's the biggest problem, is most people in the business judge when that person pulls up and they have three kids hanging all over the place or doing whatever. Do I judge them? Yes. Do I treat them any different? No. I look at them as a buyer. They might not buy. They might be a handful. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go do my job and try to sell them a Volkswagen still. It doesn't matter on that end. The new people come in and say, I'm not wasting my time with those people. That's a challenge to me. I want to sell everyone I talk to. Can I? No. Will I try? Yes.
Okay, now let's talk about that a little bit. The closing process. What does that look like? You know, you've worked with this person. You've realized what exactly they need in a car, what they're looking for. But now it actually comes down to negotiations, offers. What does that look like?
So we sit at a desk. I offer them a drink, offer them whatever they need, get them comfortable, and we sit down and talk. If it's a trade, if it's appraising something, if it's getting to a certain payment, certain price point, whatever it ends up being on that end, you got to sit them down and got to make them feel comfortable. Not many people like sitting down and working out a deal. Do they have to? Yes, and people know that. They have to give you your credit. They have to do the finance. The last thing you want to do is all that, because you walk in a dealership and you act like it takes hours. It doesn't. We can do it a lot quicker than that. Yes, sometimes on weekends we get slammed and it's 3 or 4 hours into the deal by the time you leave, but most of the time it's not. It can take an hour or two and we can be done with this. We can make it pretty quick and easy, but the biggest thing is, how good have you done on your job leading up to this? When you sit somebody down, if you've done your job and sold yourself and then sold your product, the negotiation is very easy. If you haven't done a good job, which this happens to every salesperson, yeah, I didn't do a very good job on this customer, they're going to negotiate. You have to realize telling them no is easy. If the first thing they do is come up with a stupid offer, you look at them and say, no, I wish I could do that, but we don't have that kind of markup in this. We can't do that. Guess what? They're going to bump themselves. You got to get them to bump themselves. You got to get as close as that price for your money, for anybody in the dealership. For you to make money, you need to get them as close as that listing price. Can you always get them to buy that sticker? No. The internet has made that very tough. Can you try? Yes. Can you succeed every single time? No. People want to feel like they won. So make them feel like they won. Give them that good deal. But the good deal to them is all built up throughout the whole entire process. If you build that process up of that product that you're selling them is great quality, then you've done your job and the negotiation is easy. Couple $100, would that make a deal? Yes. Okay, let's do this. We have a deal. It's that easy. If they're asking for thousands, you're not making any money. You just spent some 2 or 3 hours with somebody, you're going to make $100. Is it worth it? No. Because then you know how many cars you have to sell to make that much money? It adds up. You have to sell 50 cars. It's not easy. You can't do that. We don't talk to that many people at Volkswagen.
Yeah, and it's also very important in my business. One of the things that I do consistently is increase my prices. So as my value increases and I get better at what I'm doing and what I'm offering, you know, whether it's Facebook advertising, paid advertising campaigns, web development, as I'm getting better at that, I'm increasing my prices because I realize the value that I provide. And I don't want to devalue myself for my services. So if you're not willing to pay for it, then I can't work with you. So I realize that I bring value to the table and that I'm going to get it, because if you're not going to pay it, someone else is.
And that's the same with car business. If you're not going to pay the price that I've built the value of, guess what? The next person will. So yeah. You have to just consistently be on top of your game. Be yourself. Be positive for that person. Be whatever you need to be for that person to realize that they need to buy this Volkswagen. And don't let them leave. Once someone leaves, the chances of them coming back is very slim. Same with any kind of sales. I want to think about it. Well, what makes you not want to think about it? There's a price. There's an It might not even be price. There might be something they want added on to it. Tinted windows, whatever it is. What do they want? You need to figure that out. And once they leave without something, the chances of them coming back are slim to none. Doesn't matter how good of a job you are that you've done during the process. They are going to find something or they're going to sleep on it and think this is a terrible idea. Why? Because they're spending a lot of money. It's not easy to spend 20, 30, 40 grand on something. And usually when you think you're about to do it, if you don't do it, you think about it and you realize, what am I doing?
Yeah, and you talk yourself out of it.
Oh, 100%. We see so many people that say, yeah, I'll do this. I'll pick it up tomorrow. Do they come back? No. Why? Because they thought about it. They slept on it. I tell people all the time, sleeping on it's not very comfortable. I don't know if you've ever tried to sleep on a Volkswagen, but it is not comfortable at all. You got to joke. You got to build that trust and that confidence that you have a good product and they know it. And then you got to do your job to sell it. And whatever it is, if you don't try to give money away, that's out of your pocket. You need to feed your family and your kids. You don't try to give money away. You just try to find a way to sell them and what their soft point is.
Yeah, and that's where it's very important what you mentioned about the sales process. The better the job you do throughout the process of selling them on that car, the easier it is going to be when it comes down to numbers and them actually writing a check for it.
Oh, it's a lot easier when someone feels comfortable with you and the product to give you money and their business. All right, let's switch it up now then. Let's ask you, since I've kind of went over some of the sales ideas I have and some sales things I do every day with my car sales. What do you do in your sales process?
Yeah, so this is interesting since the businesses that we're in are very different. I do a lot more digital marketing and online stuff. And the clients that I work with are typically businesses that have plateaued or they don't have any online presence or they're not well versed in social media. So a lot of what I do when I'm pitching a potential client is showing them where they're at now, currently, and what a lot of their competitors are doing and how they're losing out on a lot of money and brand awareness. So I sit down with them and say, okay, look, this is where you're at now, but look at how much you're missing out on. Look at what your competitors are doing and how they're just, they're flying by you in the online space. And then that's when I pitch myself as a bridge. So I say, hey, this is where you're at, but if you want to go here, you know, imagine if you had an online presence and imagine if you had, you know, a big social media following and loyal followers on social media that could buy from you there. So I just pitch myself as someone who can come in. I'm experienced. I'm an expert in the social media online field, and I can come in and just help make that process a lot easier.
For sure. I have a good question for you that a lot of people might ask, your age. I got this when I started in the business when I was in the early 20s. People trusted me. Very tough to do when you're a young kid. How do you get over that age difference of you telling people that are older than you in college degrees?
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. I'm 19. I don't have a college degree, but I think it comes down to a couple things. So the first thing is portraying a lot of confidence. So you have to be confident in what you're doing. And when I'm talking to business owners and entrepreneurs, I know what I'm talking about and that I look like I know what I'm talking about when I am. So, and the next thing is being able to show results. So at the end of the day, if you can provide value and you can show that you've provided value for people, they're going to be interested in working with you. You know, age is really just a number. So I can go to someone and say, hey, look, I've done all this in the past. I've gotten these kind of results. I can do the same type of thing for your business. And I also think it helps that since I'm in social media, it almost helps that I'm younger because yeah. I can say, look, I'm younger. I've grown up with all of this and using it since I was, you know, from a young age. So that helps a lot too. And just portraying, you know, a lot of confidence and that you know what you're talking about and that you have a track record.
I definitely think that's a big selling point for sales as well. So kind of what we started with was relationship building. I would put yourself as number one in that. Confidence is a key in yourself. Building yourself as a person and being on your A game and that confidence and dressing for success, whatever you want to say for this, I think that number one is yourself. Number two, I think we kind of went over is relationship building. In sales, you need a relationship. You need to build that and you need to keep doing that to be successful in sales. So I definitely get you with that age thing. It's not easy. We've both kind of grown up with the age thing of what can you do for me? You're a young kid. That right. means nothing.
It's very important. I feel like you're right. A lot of people have that question, but And we've addressed this in other podcasts. At the end of the day, if you provide value and you can bring a service to people and you're good at what you do, then people will pay you for it. And if you're talking to someone that is questioning that a lot, then move on. You don't want to work with them anyway. Because if you do start working with them, you're just going to get that same pushback throughout the time that you're one of your they're one of your clients.
And we've been questioned multiple times, both of us, about age in this. And I feel like we fight back with what people say about us with age. And I think it's one of those things, keep positive people in your life.
Exactly.
And it will make it so much better. Prove those people wrong that question your age and question what you're doing. But don't give those people any part of your day, because you sit there and want to argue and fight about what you're doing in your life. I've learned to just kind of brush that off and say, you can think whatever you want. I am doing myself and I'm doing me, and I'm being perfect on what I'm doing with my family, my friends, and travel, and I'm enjoying life. You get mad and be negative all you want. I don't want any of that. Be positive, people. This is what it takes to be successful, is yourself. That's all you need to be successful, is that confidence, and build yourself to be the best it can be. From there on out, you just surround the people that are positive in your life and keep the negative people out of it. It will only bring you down.
Yeah, and I think it's very important also to mention, with this episode in particular, every path to success is new and unique. So just looking at what Brian and I do, we're in completely different businesses. While we do have the sales that we both focus on a lot, we're in completely different businesses and we're both successful in what we're doing. So if you see someone making a bunch of money, don't just say, hey, I'm going to do what that person is doing just because of the money. No matter what you want to do in life, you can make money doing it. You can monetize something that you're passionate about. And a lot of people don't realize that, but it's extremely true, especially now in 2018 and with social media. No matter what path you want to follow, just do what you want to do and you'll find a way to monetize it and make money from it.
And it's figuring it out. So if that person's doing something and successful, do you know what they're really doing to be successful? No. Ask.
Exactly.
People will tell you. People will tell you what to do to be successful and what they're doing. A lot of successful people want other successful people. They want to help out. They want people around them to be successful. You know why? Because you think this is a joke, but everyone that's successful has positive people around them. They want people to be positive. They want good people around them because it makes you to become better in life.
Yeah, and they realize that there's no shortage of money in the world. That's what I feel like a lot of people that I talk to, they think that there's scarcity and there's not a lot of money and that, oh, they're broke. But you don't realize there's an infinite amount. You know, there's enough money for everyone. If you provide value and you provide a service,
you will
can
get
make
it.
Your own money. And people who are already successful, they want that for everyone. They want everyone to be able to level up and achieve their dreams.
It's the people that are negative that don't want you to be that. And most negative people are not successful. So you have to let those people go in your life and get the positive people in there. If it's us, if you want to ask us questions, do it. Like, we'll sit here and talk with you guys about whatever you guys want. If it's sales, if it's any of the other podcasts we've went over, if it's just something personal and you just kind of get it off your shoulders, let us know. We can do whatever we can to help you because we want to help you become better.
Exactly. And we're documenting our journey and what we're learning along the way and what we've learned in the past and what's helped get us to where we are. This is also very much, we're trying to get to the next level too. And this is what we're learning on our journey so we can take our lives to the next step.
The next step is in front of you. You just have to take it. And if it's 10 steps up or 20 steps up, it's up to you. You can do it. You just need help sometimes, and don't be scared to ask for help.
Yeah, exactly. And so while every path to success is new and unique, there are principles and strategies that you can follow and that all successful people have followed and habits that they've developed in their life to take themselves to the next level. You know, it's not just some secret thing that's out there. It's following habits and strategies and being consistent with them. And if you do that, you're going to be able to take your life to the next level.
And all these people that go out and buy these successful people's podcast and books and all that, they're doing the same thing. Every single one of those guys are telling you, or women are telling you, the same exact thing. You can do it. It's all on you. Listening to that is definitely great motivation, but it's something that you can do. You can do it without their help. and you'd be shocked what you can do without someone else's help. You have to step out of your comfort zone and do something that sometimes you don't want to do, but it will be a great success once you do that. This is not something I would ever imagine myself doing as a podcast. And what am I doing? I've done, what, 5-6 podcasts
yep.
now.
Yep.
It's something, stepping out of your comfort zone. Do something that you would never do, and you'll be shocked the results.
Yeah, and it's very interesting what you mentioned about all the stuff that these people say are the same. Because I look at the success industry and all these gurus. It's like each generation has a small percentage of people that become successful, and then they just share what's gotten them to where they are. And then the same thing happens, a small percentage of the next generation becomes successful. At the end of the day, the success industry, it's just all a cycle. Everyone is teaching the same things. While they might be different stories and they coin different terms to label certain things, at the end of the day, they're all teaching the same exact thing, and it's been those same things for
years,
like centuries and centuries. It's the same tactics and strategies, and you can learn them, and if you follow them, you will be successful.